Exodus 3, 1 to 15. Now, Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I'll go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Was there for the taking, my friend. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. The home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. For the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word in the Bible. We thank you for this written revelation of you. And God, we ask you to speak to us this morning. May you give us hearts and minds to hear what you would have to say to us. May we know you more and more this morning through what you speak to us. May my words be your words. May you give us hearts and minds to hear what you are speaking to each of us, we pray. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but I can find it easy to lose the wonder of Christmas each year. So with Christmas in just 8 sleeps time, sorry to freak you out a little bit with that, I thought we'd spend these next 2 weeks and Christmas Day thinking about what is it about Christmas that helps us wonder about God. And we're going to do that by looking at 3 words which come from Emmanuel. God is described, or Jesus is described, as Emmanuel, God with us. So what does it mean for God to be with us? And we're going to spend the next 3 weeks looking at that. But let's jump straight into thinking about this first one, which is God. Who is God? What does it mean for us to have a God who comes to be with us? And so in our reading, we see Moses actually asks this very question of God. Suppose I go to them, who should I say has sent me? What is the name of the God who is sending me? How am I supposed to respond to this? I wonder if someone asked you, who is God, how would you respond to them? What would be your response to them? Well, God actually gives Moses an answer. He says to Moses, you are to tell them that the I am has sent you. In fact, God says, I am who I am. The I am, the Lord, has sent you. And this is the name, I am, that is used in the Bible. Whenever you see in the Bible the word Lord written in capital letters, this is the name I am, which is actually from the Hebrew Yahweh. I am Lord. And this name Yahweh actually appears over 6,500 times in the Old Testament and is translated into Kyrios, which is Lord, in the New Testament in the Greek. And Yahweh wasn't actually a name that was pronounced by the Lord, by the Israelites. It was a name that was the name of God, but they said, well, we don't want to blaspheme God, and so we're not going to say that. So rather than saying Yahweh, they would actually use the term Adonai. And to help them remember this, whenever it was written in the scribes would write it, they'd actually put the verbs of Adonai into the consonants of Yahweh. This led to the creation after Jesus' time of the word Jehovah, a word that we understand to mean God nowadays, because it was transliterated and they went, oh, well, we've got these letters, so let's make that the name. That must be the name that it is, Jehovah. But actually what it is Yahweh, Lord, I am. And it's only God who can truly say, I am, and that be it. See, for every one of us, if someone says, I am, then you're kind of going, you are what? You are a friend, a son, a daughter, a husband, a wife. You are a worker. You are a student. What are you? But God can say, I am. Why? Because every part of creation depends on something else to exist, but God doesn't. God exists on his own. He is the only one that can truly say, I am. We as humans depend on oxygen, on water, on food, on heat, on sleep, on coffee for some of us. We need these things for our existence. Creation, plants, need sunlight and rain. They need nutrients in the soil. The water, the ocean, doesn't exist without the rules of nature and gravity. You don't get an ocean floating in outer space. It is restricted by the rules of God that God has put in place for nature. And yet God can say, I am, because he is the one who exists outside of all of this. He doesn't need creation to make him better than he is. He is. But he invites creation into this saying, I want to bless you and see you flourish as you exist in me. And so God is the I am. And yet when he says I am, it's not just the statement of I am. It can also be translated as he will be. That it is the God who is the one who fulfills his promises. That just as he is, we can trust him to be the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That he is the one who writes the story. And this name, I am, is actually true of Jesus as well. That as we celebrate Jesus' birth in a few days' time, we're remembering that he is Lord, God made flesh, revealing God to us amongst this. And so he will take on this name, and he actually indeed calls himself in John's gospel the I am. That before Abraham was, I am, he says. Jesus reveals himself to us as Lord, as Yahweh, the I am for us. And so God says, I am. This is part of who I am. And yet there's also other parts of God that we see in our reading today as well. That God is also the redeeming Lord. That God has said to Moses, "Moses, come because I have a job for you." What is my job? It is to save the people from Israel, from Egypt, the people of Israel from Egypt, to release them from slavery. Why? Because God is a redeeming God. He sees his people, he sees the suffering that they're facing, and he calls people into life in him. This is not a God who is immune to the pain. This is not a God who is above all, but going, "Well, too bad, creation. You're on your own here." Actually, no, this is a God who wants to redeem his people and call them to him. And so he calls his people, he sees his people, and he's at work. And fast forward a millennia, and we see Jesus, the fulfillment of the redeeming of God. That this baby born in a manger, God made flesh, is actually here to live the life that we couldn't live, to take the punishment that we deserve, to die and rise again to show that sin has been defeated, that we can enter freely into life with God. Not because of anything that we've done, but because of who he is and what he has done for us. And so we start to see some of this thing about who God is, that he is Yahweh, he is Lord, he is the I Am, he is the Redeemer. But these are just a couple of the names that are used of God in the Bible. If we can have this slide up, this is some of the names. This isn't even all the names that are used in the Bible. Okay, Abba Father, Lord, Cornerstone, Alpha and Omega, Anointed One, Author of Salvation, the Blessed Hope, Bread of Life, Breaker, Bright Morning Star, Good Shepherd, and on it goes. In fact, there's over 900 names, I believe, that are used of God in the Bible. Some of these names are mentioned only once. Others are used multiple times. Names like Lord appear over 7,000 times in the Bible. Some of them are used as conglomerates. So you see the Lord will provide, for example. It comes with Yahweh at the start of it, and then the second part, the provider, Jireh, is added to it as well. So let's dig into a few of these names. This morning. The first names for us to think about, some other names for us to think about, are El Shaddai and El Roi. So these come out of the word Elohim. This word, Elohim, is the third most common name of God in the Old Testament. Generally, it's used to reference God as the God of Israel, and sometimes used to also reference other gods in the Bible, the plural deities of other religions. But generally, we're using it as God. This is a translation of this name. And out of this name, Elohim, we actually get the names El Shaddai and El Roi. We take the El and then we add the Shaddai and the Roi. And these two names, El Shaddai, is God Almighty. And El Roi is the God who sees me. And so we see El Shaddai, this God who is almighty and all-powerful, that he is the I Am in life, that he's the one who is able to rule over all. Why? Because he has all the might. He's not God some mighty. He's not God with a little bit of might. He's God Almighty, God all-powerful, the one who is reigning over all. That this is God Almighty who rules over all. It is God Almighty who has created. It is God Almighty who sustains all things in him. It is God Almighty who speaks into our situations, who has the power to move and to change. And yet, it is also the God who sees me. God who is active and at work in us. God who sees little us and cares about what is going on. His name, El Roi, actually comes from Genesis, where Hagar is being sent away from Abraham and Sarah. And God has spoken to her and said, I see you. I know your situation. You are not forgotten. And she says, you are the God who sees me. You are God who cares and is invested in all people. Those who fulfill the promise and those who are a part of creation. You see and you care. And these names go together because it's not just enough to have God Almighty without the God who cares for us. And it's not enough to simply have the God who sees us and cares for us without his power and might to move in our lives as well. And so we have God Almighty, El Shaddai, and the God who sees me, El Roy. Another name for God that we have is the Lord who heals. That God is the God who heals us physically and spiritually. If we look at the life of Jesus, we see this lived out amongst many of his ministry times. That when he engages with people, he's restoring the spiritual realities for them and the physical realities. Think of the man, the crippled man who was lowered through the roof in front of Jesus. His first words to him are, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And then he says to him, "Get up, take your mat and walk." He is the one who restores us spiritually with him and brings life to our bodies as well. See, the greatest need that any of us have is actually the healing of us spiritually. That none of us can get into relationship with God on our own. We need God to be the one who is doing this. And he is extending the hand saying, "I'm reaching for you. Come and take a hold. Let me bring life to you. Let me bring restoration to you." And then he also does this physically as well. We've seen miracles around this, around people getting healed from different things. But sometimes that physical healing doesn't come as we imagined it to be. Sometimes it doesn't look exactly like we want it. But actually what the physical healing is in that moment is that spiritual restoration in him. That peace, that calm, that, yeah, I can trust in you, God, in the midst of this suffering that is going on, because I know that you are the Lord who heals. And so we keep looking to God to heal. And we keep asking him to move. And we keep trusting him as the Lord who heals. Another name for us is Prince of Peace. I wonder how many of us actually need to know God as the Prince of Peace this Christmas. That he is the God Almighty, the God who sees, and the God who invites us to have peace in him. And this name comes out of one of Isaiah's famous prophecies that you hear around Christmas. "Unto us a child is born, and the government shall be on his shoulders, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Now, we live in a world that is highly anxious. We are in a world that is more connected than it's ever been, but this drives anxiety amongst people. And yet this only ramps up when it comes to Christmas. That we've got all the pressures of Christmas. This week I saw an article saying Christmas is now a luxury because of the cost of living for many people. And yet there's so much pressure around it that we've got to deliver the perfect Christmas for our family. And so we go, well, how am I going to pay for all the groceries? What if it goes wrong? What if I cook the turkey wrong? What if there's another blow up in my family dinner again? What if I can't provide all the things that I need to? What if I let down people? How do I actually do this? And the anxiety and the shame is rampant. And yet God says, "Come to me. Come and know my peace, peace which surpasses all understanding." That we would rest in him. That we would rest in his love. Knowing that his love for us is not dependent on us ticking all the boxes, getting all the grades, doing all the right things, but simply that we are his. That his love doesn't change for us, but we are His. And we can rest in that peace no matter what else is going on. But we only know His peace in this as we trust Him as mighty God, as wonderful counselor, as everlasting Father. And the last names for us this morning, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. This is one of the last names that is used for God in the Bible. And it reminds us that God is the God who starts the story and He is the God who finishes the story. There is not some plot twist coming that's going to be Satan actually wins. No, God is the end. He is the one who has written the story. He is the author of salvation, and He wins. And so we can trust Him as the one who is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, the one who has written history and knows the way it's going, that He is the beginning and the end, and we can look to Him in this. So I wonder this Christmas, as we think about some of these names of God, who is it that you need God to be or need to be reminded of God as this Christmas? Maybe it's some of these names that we've talked about this morning. Maybe it's some of the other names that were on the slides as well, if we can have them back up. Maybe you need to be reminded that God is the Lord of hosts, the one who controls the angel armies. Maybe you need to know that God is the advocate for you. Maybe you need to know Him as God our shield, God our rest, the Holy One, the God of love, the God of light, the God as our friend, the God and Lord who is provider. For God is far bigger than we can ever imagine, but He cares about each and every one of us. And so this Christmas, may we be reminded of the majesty of God. And may we know some more of who God is and be marveling at the fact that this is the God who came to be born in a manger, to be born for us, that we might know Him more and more. Let's pray. God, we thank You that You are the I Am, that You are Lord, that You are God Almighty, that You are the God who sees us, that You are the God who heals, that You are the one who brings peace, that You are the beginning and the end. God, this Christmas, may we be drawn in wonder of You. May we be knowing more of You. May we be reminded of the magnificence of You. That as we think on the birth of Jesus, we are reminded that it is You, God, who is with us. That Jesus is God. And that we might live this out in our lives as well. Looking to You and trusting in You with all that we are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.